welcome back to this episode of The Overcomers. I am back with the beautiful Lauren Chandler, except she is in the hot seat now. Mm-hmm. Last time we were together, I was sitting there. Yep. You were sitting in the power seat.
Oh, is that what that is?
I mean, it's the one asking the questions.
Okay. Gotcha.
So, gonna spend some time talking with Lauren. Very different testimony than mine, but a testimony, man, I hear a lot and I see a lot. And so I'm hoping that you'll find your heart encouraged in this episode of The Overcomers. And I get to hang out with my favorite person, Elsie,
here. Babe.
Which I have nicknames for. One of those is LC, Lauren Chandler. But oftentimes when I say that, people are like, I didn't know her name was Elsie. And I'm like, no, it's a nickname. It's love. It's just me loving
her. You give everybody nicknames, whether they want it or not.
It's true. And it's not, you're not interviewing anybody. This is not, I need you to receive the question here. Not turning it on me, sis. Hey, let's talk a little about you growing up. You are like good girl.
Yeah.
Would that be fair? Would that be how you framed it and shaped
it? For sure. I was firstborn child to two parents who really wanted to do their family differently than what they experienced growing up. And I am so grateful to both of them for wanting to raise a family that loved and honored God, that loved one another, that were committed to each other forever.
Yeah.
And so I was born into that. And, you know, as you've preached and the Bible teaches, we are not born these clean slates.
Yeah.
But we were born with a little bent towards something. And I would say my bent was towards being a good girl. And you would think, oh, yeah, that's great. You know, you're a good girl. You want to do things right. You want the A. You want the pat on the back. I think that probably feels good as a parent to have one of those.
I'm not sure I would know.
But, oh, we love our kids. They're awesome. But it definitely came from this desire to not be weak, to have all the answers, to not have anything wrong with me.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want there to be something wrong with me. I don't think I knew how to articulate that at that age, but looking back, I think there was some kind of safety in being a good girl. Like, I wanted to please my parents. I wanted to please my teachers. I wanted to make all the good grades. I wanted to be, the star student at church and Sunday school and youth group,
Yeah.
That's who I wanted to be. And it wasn't, I don't even think it was my parents put that on me. I wanted it.
Yeah.
It was a self-motivating thing. I wanted to be good. The problem with that is we really can't be good without Jesus, not to our core. Even being good is a way to not need God.
Yeah.
And that's what it was for me. But I was a good girl and I wanted to be good. I did not want a flaw.
And that played itself out really in every arena, right?
Yeah.
Like even still, you are bent toward the rules in a way that I am bent away from.
I know.
It's Augustinian, baby. It's an unjust law is no law at all. That's kind of what goes on in me. And growing up, it was school or church or parents or even even other adults who might have been in a place of authority.
Yeah.
The driver was... Is it fair to say conformity, or was it different than conformity?
I would say it was more just like pleasing and achieving and it was more pleasing. Not even conformity. It was like I just wanted to be the good student. I wanted the acclamation. Mm-hmm. I wanted the pat on the back sort of thing. Yeah.
And you got that. Huh?
And I got it. Yeah, I did. I got the A's. I got the awards. I got the notice. Yeah. And that all it did was feed the monster.
It's an insatiable.
Yes.
You're saying it's an insatiable.
It is insatiable. And
would you call it kind of like primary idol of your life is to be like, yeah. I'm wondering, is it, do you want to win or do you want to be the good girl?
Yes.
Okay. Are those synonyms for you? Are they like, no, yeah. Winning is being.
Yeah. I think probably then it was to be the good girl was winning.
Yeah.
And I do want to win. Like that is definitely in me to want to win.
Do you know the adage? Do you like to win or do you hate to lose?
You know the answer.
I do, but I want them to hear from you.
I hate to lose.
Yeah. So how strange are game nights at our house?
Oh.
They can get fiery, huh?
They get real fiery. Yeah. But it's good. I've grown.
You have. Oh, my gosh.
I've grown.
So much sanctification in the last 26 years. Yeah. So much sanctification.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when did you realize, oh, man, this is not a good thing? Because even when we first met, like you've said it, like all the acclaim, all the mm-hmm. praise, all the so proud of, like all Wasn't of enough. That is woven into your life. And so how do you start to become aware, oh, actually, this is an idol. This is not a good thing. This is harming me in my soul in some ways, or maybe I'm not using the right words, okay. So how do you wake up to that?
I think it took a while to wake up to it. I think one of the first places I felt it was our marriage, mm-hmm. where I couldn't get the A, in a sense. Like I didn't know how to be a good wife.
Yeah.
And it wasn't your fault, and it wasn't completely my fault. It was like our baggage that we've talked about on here before, where that was part of our problem was I was trying to get the A in marriage when that's just not how relationships work.
Yeah.
That's a bit transactional and one dimensional. It's not messy and vulnerable and exposed. So that was one of the places I first noticed this isn't working. My strategy of pleasing and getting it right and performing was not getting me the results that I wanted. And then it maybe in other areas of my life, like when it comes to music, I would get the acclaim, but it was never satisfying long enough. It never convinced me that I was good enough.
Yeah,
I always had this, okay, I'll know I'm good enough when. And so I'd say in our marriage, when it came to music, leading worship, singing, and even just in life in general, I would just get really frustrated with myself when I felt like I did not come through on something, that I didn't achieve what I thought I would or perform at a level that was satisfying to me. I didn't know what to do with that. That's when I started waking up to, okay, this is unsustainable.
Yeah.
Like I can't do this. And I think the tipping point for me was in the area of music when I had this, I'll know I'm good enough when, and I had that moment where I had an opportunity to fulfill the win. Like I was mm-hmm. like, I'll know I'm good enough if I get to do this. And I got to do that thing. And it was like singing with someone that I really looked up to and really wanted to impress and wanted to be like and all the things. And I did it. And it was a recording. I listened back to it when we got the recordings back and I hated how I sounded. I was like, that's terrible. Like, I did not like it. And I was like, oh my gosh, I thought that if I was invited to do this, it would prove that I'm good enough. And then I would do it and it would sound good enough.
Yeah.
And I realized it was almost like a body dysmorphia thing that people can experience where what I was experiencing and seeing and hearing was not what I felt like other people were experiencing and hearing in me. And so I was like, something's not okay in me. And so we were going through a Bible study with a group of women, all young, with young kids, babies, being discipled by a woman who was a little bit older than us, a little further ahead in life. And we were doing a Beth Moore Bible study. It was, I think, Believing God. And I remember Beth on the screen said, gave this invitation. She said, she described this moment when the Israelites are about to cross from the wilderness into the promised land. And the waters are parted in the river Jordan. And they're about to cross over. And in the dry riverbed, the Lord instructs them to take a stone of remembrance, take it to the other side, and like build an altar to tell your kids, your generations behind you, this is what God did for us. She said, some of you are in the middle of that dry riverbed and you've got the stone in your hands and you're looking back at the wilderness, at Egypt, and you're like, I know it's slavery. I know it's wandering, but at least I know what to expect.
Yeah.
And you're looking longingly back at it. And then you're looking across to the promised land and you know it's freedom, it's a future, but it's the unknown and it's scary. And you're frozen in fear. And she said, take that rock and move on. And just that something, my spirit just like leapt within me where I was like, I want to move on. Like, I feel like I'm standing in the middle of this dry riverbed. The Lord's beckoning me to move forward. But man, I'm looking back at the slavery in the wilderness or in Egypt and the wandering in the wilderness where I was enslaved to trying to do everything in my own power to do it right, to get it right, to prove that I was worthy of God's love. I was dissatisfied, like the wandering generation, like in the desert where sometimes I would get what I wanted and it was never enough. It was never satisfying. And I was looking back on that and I was like, I know what that is. It feels comfortable. It's what I've known, but I don't want it anymore. I want to move on. And so I remember being in tears and our leader, Mari, praying for me. And then later that week, we had Celebrate Recovery at church. You'd invited the whole church to come out and see it and see what Celebrate Recovery is about. And I remember going to that meeting with you and I had just this like hope that maybe there was something there for me. And I was sitting, I think we were sitting on the front row, front right, and Michael Snetzer was teaching, and he taught this beautiful message about, he gave this illustration of this man that wanted to plant a garden, but there were all these weeds in the garden. And so he tried to pull all the weeds up, and he couldn't. He tried to mow over them, and they popped back up. And I remember thinking, yes, like that's me, all these weeds in my life where I feel like I just can't get it together. I cannot pull it together. I can't maintain it. I'm so tired. And he invited anyone who that resonated with to just come and surrender that to the Lord, that you can't do it on your own. It's impossible. You were never meant to, and you can't, but Jesus can. Yeah. And I remember I was like, I want to surrender. That's the freedom I want. I'm so tired of trying to do this on my own. And, but here I was 20, I don't know, seven.
Yeah.
And the lead pastor's wife sitting on the front row, and they offer this surrender chip. It's like a blue poker chip. And they offer it to whoever wants to surrender a part of their lives. And I wanted to go up there so badly, but I had that fear of what other people would think, the fear that was choking the life out of me for as long as I could remember, was trying to choke the life out of that moment. And so I, the moment passed by and they went on to the next chip, you know, 1 month of sobriety or surrender. And I was just regretting that I did not stand up. And then finally, at the end, they give another opportunity. to grab the surrender chip, and I just could have flown up there. Nothing was going to keep me from getting that dadgum chip, because I was like, I'm too tired. I'm too tired to care what people think. I'm too tired of living in fear. And so I went up there and I took that chip and I hugged the woman that was up there, and I felt like just 1,000 pounds came off my shoulders. And so that was the beginning of realizing it wasn't working, and I needed something else. And that first step, so I did the 12 steps of recovery, loved it. I did all the like little mantras that they say at the, you know, I forget them now, but all the ones that they kind of fashioned from AA and then added Jesus to it, because Jesus really is the greater power.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And a lot of those steps are rooted in biblical principles. And anyway, just that first step of I am powerless was life-changing for me. And I'd grown up in the church. I mean, I knew the Bible. I'd gone to Sunday school. I really believed I had a relationship with Jesus. I know I did. But I couldn't understand grace very well because I didn't need it.
Yeah.
In my mind, I was like, I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a good girl. I love Jesus. You know, I know Bible verses.
Yeah.
I was not perfect. I mean, I had my moments. I was a typical teenager. But it was then, when life was no longer working for me, that I was like, I can't do this. And it was a relief to realize I was powerless.
Most Christians I know, they have this deep longing to understand the Bible more deeply and in ways that move their souls, like to greater worship and gladness. In fact, I feel like I'm in those conversations all the time when it comes to the Bible, like men and women who love God, they go to church. Most of them even start the day by reading their Bible, and yet they still have this hunger to know God's word more deeply in its context and meaning, and in a way that really is transforming their lives. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Kava. It comes from the Hebrew word Kava, which means to wait on or to hope in the Lord. Kava is a Christian streaming platform that really was built to help you understand the Bible and live out your faith with confidence. Think of it as digital discipleship in your pocket. It has Bible studies, documentaries, and there are these conversations led by trusted teachers that help scripture finally come alive in your everyday life. And another reason why this is one of those I really love is that Kava is a nonprofit subscriber-funded ministry, which means when you subscribe, you're not just getting the benefit, but you're partnering with them in creating biblical content that helps people all over the world go deeper in their faith. So this is one of those, like Kava gives you the opportunity to grow with thousands of others who are finding greater confidence in God's word. So you can visit kava.tv/theovercomer. That's kava.tv/theovercomers. And use code OVERCOMER50 for 50% off your first 6 months. Again, that's kava.tv/theovercomers, code OVERCOMER50. I'm curious at how your relationship with the Lord was affected by kind of the expectations of others. I mean, did you always just think you were doing well enough that you and the Lord were cool, or was there some distance between you and the Lord? Because it's an interesting dynamic to me in that, like, you're on the surface kind of the kid that every parent wants, the friend every woman wants, the you've got all those pieces to the public eye. I'm curious. Usually, you know, it is that awareness of brokenness that moves us towards the Lord. And so I'm curious if in your mind, and this would have to be seen in reverse.
In the moment, probably couldn't see it.
In regards to intimacy with the Lord and nearness and a feeling of his pleasure and grace. And
yeah.
Was that muted during all of this also?
I would say it was muted. It was definitely there. That's what's so interesting.
Well, and you always had a hunger for it, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I always did. I always, like, even before I made a profession of faith or, you know, was baptized, because I'd grown up in a home that we went to church and we belonged to a church. I knew the people in the church. I think that was part of it. And then I feel like I do believe there was a moment of salvation, but I had an awareness that Jesus was real and he was near. And I usually found that out in nature.
Yeah.
You know, I just always had this hunger for God and an awareness that he was real.
Yeah.
I think what it did is I didn't understand the concept of grace well at all.
Yeah.
And because I felt like I could achieve it. So I wanted nearness with them, but I felt like I had to earn it.
Yeah.
I had to be, does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think it does.
So yes, I think it was muted during those years. I remember when I met you and you were preaching at this camp and you knew the Bible a lot more than I did. And I hated that, but not like it was a good jealousy. Like it was like, oh my gosh, I want that. You know,
who knows it more now?
You still know.
I'm just an acid.
Oh my gosh. You've had more. I mean, because I was, yeah.
Is it because you're so much? It's my job to know the Bible. I guess
yes,
you could probably, argue that in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Were there places?
Yeah.
I'm genuinely asking. I didn't experience you this way in that season. Were there opportunities or things that were in your heart in that season that you wouldn't move on because you weren't sure you could get the A?
Oh, yeah. That was me all the time.
Okay.
Anything that I didn't think I could nail, you know.
Yeah.
But then there were some things that I felt like I did try, even though I didn't feel like...
Yeah, you're not risk averse.
No, I'm not.
But I have experienced.
Yeah, why don't you tell me what you
know? Oh, this isn't about marital conflict. No, this is safe place, circle of trust in front of a few thousand people. I think where I could watch you get stuck on things, where in the creative process, there's always that, the high of a great idea, and then the reality of bringing that idea to life.
Mm-hmm.
And I could watch in those early years, the idea die.
Yeah.
Where you would have this grand, I want to do this, I want to get this. And then when it looked like it wasn't going exactly like you wanted it, then all of a sudden loss of heart and maybe the whole thing stopped.
Yeah, I think the inner critic in me is very real. And I, for the first time, heard the concept of growth mindset when Reed had his 6th grade band concert.
Really? That's the first time you heard of?
Yes. It was on the back.
I remember.
Of that.
I totally remember it.
Of that program.
Yeah.
And it was like fixed mindset versus growth mindset. And I was like, oh my goodness. I have been a fixed mindset person for as long as I can remember. You know, no one had told me.
Isn't it funny where the Holy Spirit might ambush you?
I know. A 6th grade band concert when Reed played the tuba. He was very good.
He was great. He's really got that aptitude.
He's got a good ear.
Got it from you.
And lungs.
Yeah. Maybe he got that from me, but.
Probably. So I think I very much was in that fixed mindset, which is either have it or you don't.
Yeah.
And I think I would try some things and it wouldn't go great. And I'm like, well, I don't have it.
Yeah.
You know, but that desire was there. So I was like, what do I do with that? Here's what I didn't want to be. I didn't want to be the reel on American Idol of all the people that were told they can sing and they should not have been told they could sing. You know, that was my greatest fear was, what if I'm really terrible and no one's telling me, you know, that sort of thing. And so So I think I was stuck there. And then I read the back of this, and this is well after recovery and really walking in a lot of freedom, that growth mindset of, hey, you can fail at some things, but still eventually succeed. Like you can grow. And I was like, huh, that makes sense. But I never thought about it that way. And so like when it comes to songwriting in particular, that's a very vulnerable place for me. And so I don't always try it all the time because I want it to be good. And so just having that growth mindset of I can start with an idea, I can expose it to certain people that I trust that can give me encouraging, helpful feedback, and then I can grow from that feedback. And so it doesn't have to be completely finished and look perfect and be exactly what I want it to be for people to see it and comment, and they can make it better.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So what were you're growing in, I don't have it all together. You've had this experience of God's grace. Mm-hmm. Now, what are little changes that start to happen in your life as you become more and more aware of, I'm chasing the wind here.
Yeah.
There's not enough praise of man to keep me going.
Yeah.
So what were little changes maybe in your life you began to notice and see? And
I think one of them was with friendships. Yeah. I'd been in some friendships that were good, but I knew I needed a break. Some things just weren't healthy. And I knew that I needed to be okay. Like there was a rupture in a friendship, and I needed to be okay if that person was not okay with me.
Yeah.
And that was hard for me. That was very hard. And I felt like the Lord say, hey, I'm doing some things in her that you're going to get in the way of.
Yeah.
And then I think he was doing some things in me that friendship would get in the way of. And I think this was it, was to be okay letting someone down and disappointing them.
Yeah.
Like that, I do not like disappointing people.
No.
And so that was one of the small ways that I started to grow and release that, like, people-pleasing in particular and perfectionism. Because that's what the perfectionism is, to never disappoint anyone, to always get the A, for everyone to be pleased with me. Yeah. You know, for me, that was being perfect.
Yeah.
You being perfect, you don't have to apologize. And so just learning to apologize, learning to be okay if people were disappointed in me, learning to say no, learning to receive feedback and constructive criticism or critique. I think, and then gratitude has been something that's helped me, just like being grateful for what I have. Because I think with the people pleasing and performance, there was always like this, in the competition that, you know, I hate losing and everything's a competition. Like, we drive home from church in two different cars and I go one way and you go another. And I'm like,
we'll see.
But someone cheats more than the other.
I mean, that's what a lot of people who come in second say that.
Oh my gosh. But just like, instead of looking at the other person and being like, well, why did they get to, or why did they get that? Why did they get to win in a sense? And just being like, but God, thank you for what you have given me. Thank you for what you let me experience. Thank you for, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So those have been small ways feel like I changed in those seasons.
Yeah. I loved watching you, you know, and there's still vestiges, I think, probably because how God built you. There'll always be some of that. And I need it in my life. Maybe it's lingering there because the Lord's trying to pull me.
Maybe so.
But like your ability to say no without guilt. Watching that grow over the next couple of years was huge to me.
Yeah.
Because that was the thing that I would see is your life would be filled with things that you didn't want it to be filled with.
Yeah.
And the driver was that you didn't want to let anybody down.
That's true.
As the pastor's wife in a large, growing, fast church, the asks on you were nearly endless. And so that was one of the ways I was hoping you'd say that, because one of the ways I saw it, the evidence of grace I saw in your life was the willingness to just go, that's not where the Lord's having me, you know, spend my energy in this season, but love you and thank you. And then not bring that up for the next 6 weeks over coffee in the morning about how you hope they don't, you know, hate you or whatever.
Hate my guts.
Which, you know, they're not going to. I would love, do you have a story of maybe as you're growing in this, of a failure or an imperfection or a, that kind of tested that new surrender to the Lord that you got to the other side of? And so it's that idea of, I don't know if I'll win. I don't know if I'll make the A. I feel called to do this. And man, it didn't go the way you wanted. And then you get to the other side of it and go, oh, I'm fine.
Yeah. I was looking at that question. I was like, I know there's been something happen. Can you think of one?
I mean, you're just so, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I just nail it all
you
the time.
Do is win unless we're driving home from church. But other than that.
I know, I'm trying to think of...
Well, could it be, I don't have one in mind when I ask that question. I was thinking either with the kids or with ministry opportunities or with me or...
I would say with the kids, I mean, definitely, there's been just having to... admit when I like failed with them, or like just, knowing that the Lord would use even my failures with them to, shape them. And so that meant not like maybe the Lord could do something with my failure and attempts to repair that, like owning the failure and apologizing for it and the mending of that more than if I'd just done it perfectly, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's what in the podcast with Adam, when we were talking about this subject was the subject, parenting was the subject. You know, he, like in his words, one of the things he brings to bear on his family is he's a sinner.
Yeah.
And that gives him an opportunity to let his kids tangibly experience grace when he falls short and owns it and circles back and lays the gospel over his failure for his own life as he seeks to mend the breach, if you will, in the relationship. And so I thought that, I think that's powerful.
I definitely experienced that. I think of one other experience that I had that it hit that really tender spot of, it felt like shame.
Okay.
Because I failed at something and not, I wasn't even trying to achieve. So I had sung at my aunt's funeral and I'd worn this dress, and the dress I think went to my knees.
Okay.
Do you remember this?
I do.
And I went straight from singing, you know, at this funeral service to singing at church and leading worship. And I wore the same dress. I thought it was very modest, you know.
You are modest.
I'm a modest person. Okay. So
I was surprised you had the guns out for this. I thought you were totally going to put sleeves on for this.
I was, but then I was just too tired to change. Anyway, and so then probably a week later, a couple days later, someone had gotten an email at church and, you know, looped you into it and then me that they had an issue with my dress and that was too short and it was like distracting. And that like killed me.
Yeah.
One, because leading worship is dear to me. I love doing it and I do not want to be a distraction.
No.
Ever. And so that hurt my heart. I was like, oh my gosh, that was not my intention at all. I wasn't even like, I look good in this. It was like, it's a cute dress. I'm wore it to a funeral.
It's a funeral dress.
I thought it was modest. Like, yeah. I am a modest dresser, except for this sleeveless shirt today.
But, sun's out. You know what they say about that.
Sun's out, guns out. Anyway, and so I remember, I mean, that could have taken me down.
Yeah.
And I went to the Lord and I was like, you know my heart. I never wore that dress again. I don't think I wore it anywhere. Wasn't in my season anyway. So
there it is. There it is. Get your colors done.
Army green, and this is my green, guys. Yeah, it was that I was okay that I'd disappointed someone, even if I thought that it was the standards were a little high. And that my heart was not to distract. And so that was kind of like this growing moment for me where it didn't take me out. I didn't dwell on it for a long time. I was like, Lord, I trust you and my reputation is safe with you and you are who I want to please. I do not want to be a distraction. So thank you, you know, if that was distracting to that couple.
Yeah.
So I don't know why when you asked that question just now, that like popped into my
head. Maybe somebody watching needs to hear it.
Needs to hear that, where it was like that deep shame that I felt. And then I was like, wait, that kind of shame is not from the Lord. Yeah. That is the enemy wanting to come and shut me down and have me dwell on it and live in that shame. And the Lord's like, nope, I'm covering that shame. You're okay. You know, and it's not that I was like, and then I wore a dress that was even shorter to church.
That's right.
It wasn't that. It was
I tore these sleeves off this shirt for the podcast.
It was
hopefully they're watching.
Oh my God. But it was like, Lord, I trust you with my reputation and you know my heart. And it was not to distract and to cause anyone to stumble. I don't know. So, yeah.
I think that's a great, great story.
I've not shared that story.
No, I was going to say, that's been a, you know, these walls kind of story.
Yeah.
Kurt Thompson told me once, the fight's the fight. And what he was trying to say in that is these kinds of bends.
Yeah.
So like my bent is to save, fix, build, to be the hero, to step in, to, and then all my kind of negative and positive traits will go to that end.
Yeah.
And so what I have to be vigilant on is that compulsion to run ahead of the Lord or to get involved in something he's not asking me to get into or to power up to make something happen. So those are like watchmen on the wall kind of, I need to pay attention to that, that impulse.
Yeah.
In the process of sanctification, in God making you, the Holy Spirit making you more and more and more like Jesus over time, how does, in this season, with all this history behind you, how does people pleasing and perfection try to maybe sneak in like if you're thinking about the last couple of months of your life?
I think when parenting is a huge one.
Yeah.
Wanting to either do what my parents think is right, or do what
they have opinions about.
love you, mom and dad. Or, and I respect them too. So
they're amazing.
They are. And they did a good job. And so, I respect their opinions, but also can feel like that, oh, just don't want to disappoint them, or I just want to do it right by my kids. And even just, it's real easy to get caught up in, you know, what other parents of other kids think, you know, and having to come back to, okay, Lord, you have given me these kids.
Yep.
You have given me these kids and they're yours.
Yep.
And so I am trusting you with them. I am seeking to follow you and how to parent them. I'm going to take advice, absolutely. But at the end of the day, you and I are seeking the Lord in how to parent our kids.
Yeah.
And whatever other people think from the outside, that's between them and the Lord. And parenting our kids is between you and me
yeah.
and the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, so that's been a place that I can be like, oh my gosh, what do other people think? Or do they think I'm parenting well or whatever? But bottom line is I love our children. They've been given to us and the Lord knows them best. And so seeking how to parent them well means seeking the Lord.
Yeah. And unfortunately, because of God's good work in and through us,
yeah.
there's a lot of people who get to see
yeah, have
all
eyes
of that, have eyes for
yeah,
that,
yeah.
which is unfortunate for the kids.
It is. It's really
and, yeah.
hard for the kids. And I can only imagine what the pressure they feel
yeah.
that we try to protect and shield them from.
We can't take
can't.
It off of them. That's
yeah.
right. Because we're not the ones putting it on them.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Steve Cuss, I read it. I didn't hear him say it. I read it in a book he wrote that talked about other people's anxieties and expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And you can choose
mm-hmm.
to either carry those for them
yeah.
or you can just refuse to carry those for
mm-hmm.
him. And I think growing in that is something I've been, I mean,
yeah.
God's gift to me is to watch you grow in those things
yeah.
where you're just not going to carry that expectation or anxiety that somebody
yeah.
else has, where early you would carry everybody's.
Yeah,
and
I did.
So it's a lot of fun for me who,
mm-hmm.
that's not my bent. I've got another bent towards people's expectations, which isn't any God. I mean, it's not godly. It's not
I
a
know.
Godly bent.
Yeah.
So it's funny that this is one of the very few areas in our marriage where
we're
we are
different.
Very different.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everywhere else, we're...
Almost
everywhere else.
Almost.
Yeah, babe, that's why I use that
I
word.
Know.
I said the word
I
almost.
Know.
Almost. I'm like, I know. That's
but
why I use that word.
Yes, I know.
But this is a big one.
Yeah.
Where your bent is early, especially early, and, you know, is to, oh, man, I need to meet that expectation. And my thing's been like... I've got a place for you to take that expectation. Let me whisper
yeah,
it into your ear
you
so I don't get fired. And yeah, so that's been a fun,
yeah,
like
I'm
I
glad.
Feel like you have, your strength has drawn me to go, oh no, there's something probably there.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully the Lord's work in you. Well, I know the Lord's work in you has kind of moved you to where some people, the expectation matters.
Yeah.
And then some people, honestly, it doesn't. I'm not going to mm-hmm. pick that up. I'm not going to carry it. So,
mm-hmm.
I would love, we always end the episodes this way.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, men mm-hmm. and women on a treadmill in
yeah.
their car, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, working out, going for a walk in their neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
doing all the stuff you do when you listen to podcasts. And maybe over the last hour, they have seen themselves in your story.
Yeah.
How would you encourage them if they're maybe where you were all those years ago, walking into recovery, they're stuck
yeah.
in the river,
mm-hmm.
you know, they've got the rock in their hand, God's beckoning them forward.
Yeah.
And, but man, they really know how to do the wilderness and then
yeah.
they really know, you know, still got some of that Egyptian culture in them.
Yeah.
What would your encouragement to them be if you could just give them a few words here as we wrap up our time together?
My life verse, 2 Corinthians 12:9, for my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul goes on to say, so I'll boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses so that Christ's power may dwell in me. Yeah, that's my encouragement to you, that weakness is not a bad thing. It's a good thing because it gives the Lord space to work beyond what you can do on your own. And it's an opportunity and an invitation to rest in Him, to rest in Jesus being enough for everything in your life right now.
Yeah.
You can't do it by yourself. You can't carry it all. You can't get the A. You cannot achieve it all. Even if you tried, it would not satisfy. But a real live understanding of who Jesus is and what He has for you today in your weakness is what it's all about.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful word, LC.
Thanks, babe.
Not Elsie. LC.
Lauren.
C. LC. All right. Hey, thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Overcomers. You're struggling with perfectionism, people-pleasing, performance. There's a freedom for you that is restful and replenishing to the soul. And you know this. Gosh, you know this. You might even know verses around it. But that rest is found in the finished, perfect work of Jesus. You cannot earn the A, but Christ is willing to give you the A. And that to me, is incredible. You'll never earn it. And praise God, you don't have to. So He's going to give it. So there are no perfect parents. There are no perfect spouses. Mm-hmm. There are no perfect musicians or singers. There's one perfect one. Yeah. And the call is to rest in Him. Yeah. And so thanks for tuning in. God bless you. See you next time. Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to The Overcomers. I just pray your heart is always encouraged in the Lord. Really, the ministry I feel God's called me to in this season is to be one that's encouraging you, telling you the Lord sees you, reminding you of the opportunities that we have as the people of God in this day. And so The Overcomers podcast is one of the ways I do that. Another way is that I'm sending out a monthly newsletter. And in that, I've got a little audio link for kind of things I'm thinking about and wrestling through that I'm not necessarily preaching on. And so in the show notes is a link where you can go and sign up for that monthly email. And so, man, if The Overcomers is encouraging you, I would encourage you then to click on that link, sign up for the newsletter. And it's a way for me to further encourage you as you seek to live as overcomers in this current moment. Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to The Overcomers. I just pray your heart is always encouraged in the Lord. Really, the ministry I feel God's called me to in this season is to be one that's encouraging you, telling you the Lord sees you, reminding you of the opportunities that we have as the people of God in this day. And so The Overcomers podcast is one of the ways I do that. Another way is that I'm sending out a monthly newsletter. And in that, I've got a little audio link for kind of things I'm thinking about and wrestling through that I'm not necessarily preaching on. And so in the show notes is a link where you can go and sign up for that monthly email. And so, man, if The Overcomers is encouraging you, I would encourage you then to click on that link, sign up for the newsletter. And it's a way for me to further encourage you as you seek to live as overcomers in this current moment.